Educational Communications and this station present Environmental Directions with Nancy Perlman. On this series, we explore the effects of human influence on the Earth's ecosystems and discuss solutions to environmental problems which affect the quality of life on this planet. Environmental Directions gives you the kind of information you need to help you participate in decisions impacting your community, the nation, and the world. Now, here's your host, Nancy Perlman.
Hello. We're going to be talking about plays and how the environment affects the stories and the action with my guest, Armina Lamana. She is the artistic director, CEO, and founder of Imagine Theater. She's an adjunct professor in the theater department at Glendale College. She has directed over 15 plays and translated and adapted over 4 plays, and is the current playwright and director of Warrior Queen, Anahit the Brave. She also received the Outstanding Women of 2019 honor from the Armenian American Chamber of Commerce and also the Samuel S. Felt Fund Grant in Dramaturgy. Welcome. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
I'm delighted to be here.
You certainly have some wonderful plays that you have written, directed, translated, and you really believe that the environment can inspire the creative team to create a physical world in the theater. Can you explain how that works?
Absolutely. The way the process begins for a theater company, well, usually, such a diverse field, but usually, and how it began for us with Warrior Queen, Anahit the Brave, is that the creative team of the designers and me, we got together and we talked about what the physical world is going to look like. Because it's the physical world, that visceral element of the theater, it's going to leave a huge imprint on the kids. How they see what the world looks like, the colors, the textures, the feel, the mood, the atmosphere, all that has a huge impact on the kids. If done well, it leaves a sort of a permanent mark in their memory. You know, they remember it for the rest of their lives. And that's why the environment is so important in storytelling.
I think it's wonderful that you've developed these family-friendly plays to inspire young people, boys and girls. But as an adult, I can say they're really enjoyable. And your current one is really fantastic because it's about a peasant woman who becomes a warrior, saves a kingdom, and it's based on an 1881 fable from Armenia. Tell us the story.
I would love to. So Hazaros Agayan, he's a folklorist, an artist, and a writer. He wrote a fairy tale called Anahit. It was basically an ode to rug weaving, and rug weaving is an Armenian ancient craft.
That whole area of Central Asia has beautiful rugs.
Indeed, and the Armenians were the first ones to create a red rug, actually. And the reason for that is because there is this very particular insect that is native to the Armenian highlands. When you use that insect, you can create this deep red color, and that is how Armenians in antiquity were able to create this red rug.
The natural flora and fauna certainly helped create that beautiful folk art.
Absolutely. And in 1881, Hazaros Agayan wrote this tale about this rug weaver who, through a chance meeting with the king, leaves an impression, and he asks for her hand, and she rejects him at first because he doesn't know how to do anything with his hands. So she tells him, you know, you might be king today, but what if tomorrow you're not king? What are you going to do? So he is so taken by her that he also learns how to weave rugs and comes back to her, and they marry. And then in the fairy tale, you know, an evil force comes into the kingdom and many men are kidnapped, including the king, who convinces his kidnapper to make a rug that he can sell for a lot of money. But in it, he actually leaves a message to the queen, and she sees the message and collects whatever of the army is left and rescues and saves her kingdom. And that's the story we used to inspire our musical play, Warrior Queen, Anahit the Brave.
Secret messages written in a rug as opposed to the current internet messages.
Yep.
But there's an evil villain in this play. I find it interesting that even though it's an Armenian fable, the villain was inspired by an Egyptian serpent god of chaos and destruction.
Yes, when I was writing the play, I actually struggled for a moment. In the fairy tale itself, he's a bit ambiguous, but I needed to find a way to give this demon a more specific face, so to speak. And as I was writing it, the idea of a serpent came to me. I tried to find a name for him and came across the name Apep. And when I looked up to see what Apep was, I found out that he was the Egyptian serpent god of chaos. And I thought to myself, oh my goodness, this is fortuitous. This is a sign. So I started to study the Egyptian mythology, and I started to study him and his relationship with the sun god Ra and the back and forth that they had, and how he can't be killed because he is immortal. He's a god. He can be semi-vanquished and usually by a female serpent. And that just allowed me to riff on that and create Warrior Queen Anahit the Brave.
Not only is the acting fantastic and the story so enjoyable and charming for everybody, kids to adults, but you engaged a musician to write some music for it.
Yes, I did. I decided early on that I wanted this to be a musical rather than a play with music. I got in touch with my longtime friend, Shahin Akobian. He is a musician, a composer, and I talked to him about the play, and he happily came on board, and then we collaborated together and created a new sound for this musical. It is influenced by Armenian folk music, of course. It is influenced by traditional American musical sounds. And it has, whenever Apep sings, it has the influence of Egyptian folk music. And I think it's a really wonderful collage representative of that part of the world.
You've mentioned the Armenian highlands. What do they look like? Are they mountains? What kind of ecosystem is it? What kind of wildlife would we find there?
So it's very, very rocky. That's all we have is rock. It's hills, ridges, mountains, creeks. It's a very mountainous region. It's very colorful. In fact, it is so colorful that when I was speaking to my creative team, the artwork that I gave to them as inspiration is the still life that was created by Martiros Saryan when he first visited Armenia in the early 20th century, and he drew these fantastic images of what the Armenian countryside looks like, and that's what I used as an inspiration for my creative team.
You chose an Armenian fable that's over 100 years old, yet the theme of that fable seems as though it could be in any culture, in any country around the world. Is there anything special about these fables to Armenia versus Europe or Asia or Africa or the Americas?
I think the magic, what's magical about folk tales and fairy tales, is that they tell us how similar we really all are to each other. Sadly, society has developed in such a way where division is constantly created, and we're told that we're different from each other. And we are, and we value those differences, but we're not different wholly. Our desires are the same for our families and friends. Our needs are the same to be loved and to love. And I think these folk tales, they all show that and prove it. This is why we are concentrating on folk tales from different cultures, is to show the kids that we're all together in this. Our needs are the same. That we should have empathy for each other and understanding for each other. What looks really strange and different from another culture is actually very similar to how our ancestors also participated in the world.
Unfortunately, you have a very limited run at the Colony Theater in Burbank in November, but you also are making the play available for school field trips.
Yes, we have only 6 productions for the general public on the weekends, and they're Fridays, Saturdays at 7 and Sundays at 4. But we also open the shows to schools. They bus the kids into our theater, and their kids get to have a relationship with us. They get to see the show. They get to have a Q&A with the actors afterward, and all the educators are provided with a packet that goes over the ties to the curriculum, that goes over the geography, goes over play themes, includes videos from our cast and our creative team. And the idea is that these kids have a full experience. It's not just coming to the play and leaving, but that they get to talk about it in the classroom before they even come. And then once they come with this, I call it intellectual baggage, right? That they come with that to the show, and then they get to speak to the cast, and they go back, and then they still talk about it. That full experience, I think, that long-lasting experience that is not just one thing is what makes the impact so grand and so majestic on young audiences.
You grew up in Armenia when it was under the communist rule of the USSR before it became an independent country again. So you saw the artistic expression controlled by that. And now you're here in America where you can practically write and direct plays about all sorts of themes. You definitely focus on political and social values. I would hope that you are going to be focusing some on all the current ecological crises like climate change and overpopulation and wildlife extinction.
Yes, interesting you say that. I think of theater practitioners and storytellers in a live medium as purveyors of empathy. I think anybody who works in our field feels that way. And that empathy doesn't just apply to how we see other humans next to us, right? It also applies to the natural world. This is why I think it's so important that theater becomes a part of childhood. That empathy opens up a door to a responsible society. It opens new perspective. It allows for a more honest and a more clear understanding of the problems we all face. Empathy towards animals, to the natural world. Empathy allows us to care for people and issues that may be far from us, whom we don't see, have never met, and don't personally know. That impact is inimitable.
You certainly want theater to celebrate gender equity, diversity, civic engagement. And for me, that engagement means protecting our ecosystems, protecting our environment, and having peace in this world.
Absolutely.
These are quite often very tough topics to deal with in a charming, delightful manner, as your play is. We're always going through election cycles and voting. Did you talk about that in your 2019 play?
Yes, we did. I'm so glad you asked. We allowed the kids in the audience to vote on how the action goes forward and unfolds. We asked them if they knew what voting meant. They had a interactive experience with the cast while they explained what voting is. And then they got to vote. And it was a fantastic experience for the cast and for the kids and the educators.
Do you think that there are more fables and ancient stories from different cultures that can be translated into plays that reflect the current problems that we're having?
Yes, we work with local playwrights. So we are currently seeking to hire and commission a Native American playwright who will create a new play for us that has to do with folktales that come from the Native American peoples about their relationship to this land and how that relationship is different for us to our land right now. Next up for us is actually a fairy tale inspired by a South African folktale, and our playwright June Carroll, whom we commissioned 2 years ago, she wrote the next play for us.
I don't like to tell the whole story of films, books, plays, because I want people to read, watch, and attend these performances, but yet you've taken a fable that is well known, so the beginning and end is not new, but you've put a twist to it in your play that you've written and directed, Warrior Queen Anahit the Brave, that is being offered at the Colony Theater in Burbank in November?
Yes, that's how we work. We take folktales, fairy tales from the cultural fabric of Los Angeles, and we make them bigger, more complex, and more relevant to today's young audiences. Queen Anahit, when she's left, in our fairy tale, almost all the men are kidnapped. So she, and since King Vashagan had taught her how to fight, she had asked him, because he asked her, you know, you gave me this knowledge of how to make rugs, what can I give you? And she asks him how to fight with a sword. So when all the men are kidnapped, she uses those lessons to teach other women and raises an army of women and leads them into battle against Apep and vanquishes him from the Armenian highlands. And she does that together. That's her arc, as she realizes she can't do it on her own and that she needs a team to do it.
I am so happy that you've chosen to work on complex pieces that stimulate the audience to look at the world in a new light. We certainly have to keep our vision open to what's going on and what needs to be done. You've done a wonderful job. Thank you so much for your play. Thank you for being my guest.
Thank you for having me. I am absolutely delighted to be here.
I have been speaking with Armina Lamana, who is the artistic director, CEO, and founder of Imagine Theater, and also an adjunct professor in the theater department at Glendale College.